I'm Dan.
And I'm Alex.
And welcome back to On Air. It is Wednesday, literally Wednesday afternoon. We're recording as we're publishing, literally. How are you doing, Alex?
Yeah, this, in fact, we're recording as this episode gets loaded into your, you know, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts.
The system, the beep, boop, beep.
Exactly. I have no idea how that part works. Thank God for you. But yeah, I'm doing well. All is good. It's been incredibly busy. As I touched on earlier last week, why does everything get scheduled in these same few weeks? The amount of conferences or events or different things happening at the very end of October, the first week of November. I'm like, guys, has anyone heard of the quieter months like April or the second week of September?
Yes.
But oh my God, think yeah. Everyone works on these calendars where they return back from summer, then they give themselves 8 weeks to prepare. So everything naturally happens end of October. Anyway,
but like, what is wrong about September? We love doing stuff in September, but I feel like you said last week, September is just dead for no reason.
And I love September. I mean, there's even a song about it. Do you remember that one? I love the September. Yeah. But September is just, I don't know, people don't do much in it because they were not in the office to plan for it during summer. But airlines have evidently been in the office and planning different bombshells to drop that I hear was supposed to drop in November, but instead dropped over the last 5 days, which is why we are now about to discuss it on the podcast, including United's weird whack network expansion, which, let's be real, Dan, we wouldn't typically open with United's network expansion on the podcast. But no. I first thought this was coming from like a parody account. You know, on Twitter, there's now everyone's a blue tick. True. Even these weird kind of, you know, you have to be careful who you think like a public official is tweeting things. And then they've got a blue tick. But of course, it's now meaningless ever since the changes. But no, this actually came from United. This is the plan. Dan, what is the plan?
What's the plan?
The plan, Phil?
We have to mention someone who has never been mentioned in 55 episodes of On Air, which is Patrick Quayle. He is the head of network planning at United. And as much as we, you know, like to have mixed opinions about United on the podcast, he is doing...
Which are valid, by the way.
Yes. But he is doing a fantastic job specifically in creating an airline that has a network unlike any other. And if you live even in Europe, you have to love United's expansion because they keep opening up markets. Over the past few years since COVID, we've seen them launch flights to Bergen, Norway, which they've cut, but they did that for a summer. We've seen them launch all types of flights to Southern Europe. Of course, these are primarily for Americans, but they benefit everyone, giving them a one-stop connection through the US. So the latest announcement, which blows my mind, and I find, frankly, incredibly cool, is that United is launching 8 new destinations starting next year, but 2 of them, or especially 1, is incredibly unique. They are launching the first flight from anywhere that isn't Copenhagen, Denmark, or Iceland to Greenland. They'll be launching flights from Newark, to Nuuk twice weekly with a Boeing 737 MAX next summer. And I can't believe it. What did you think when you read this?
Well, first thing, I thought Greenland. I was like, okay, that brings a whole new concept to the term, you know, like flyover country no more. Because, of course, we're always, if you are flying transatlantic, 8 times out of 10, you end up flying over Greenland. It's very icy, despite the name, very white and snowy. It's not too green in most parts. It is also, of course, the place that Donald Trump wanted to buy, if I remember correctly. Right?
Why not?
Donald Trump wanted to buy Greenland.
Reminder that voting has opened in some states now.
Yeah, well, we're days away. I mean, I guess I told you, we're going to have to launch that side podcast about the US election and, you know, America at a crossroads with Dan and Alex on air. But yeah, nonstop from New York to Greenland. That was not on my prediction list for 2024. I just found this. Well, first of all, I wanted to know where they sourced any kind of data on the demand that shows United United people need to fly to Greenland, specifically from New York City. I know Newark isn't in New York City, but still, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Specifically from Newark. That's quite astounding. Of course, he did elaborate on that and say that they are always monitoring where people are searching to fly to. And they have, of course, all of the data from the price flight comparison websites and so on. But yeah, I mean, I thought, okay, Dan and I, are we going to be on this flight? I mean, this is really cool, potentially. Yeah, then I checked the aircraft operating. At that point, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll let Dan go by himself.
You have to do it soon, Alex. It, you know, thousands of people do it daily. Well, I don't know. Okay, I actually haven't thought about it, but for me, I think it would also make more sense to go from Copenhagen. You get to try an A330-800neo, which I've never flown, although we were at the first flight for that together. But just the fact that we have a Star Alliance airline flying to this continent that, as I said, not continent, but massive piece of land between continents, they've only had direct flights to Reykjavik and Copenhagen. So people who wanted to go from North America, which, as a reminder, has a huge number of wealthy travelers looking to travel pretty much anywhere, they had to fly first to Copenhagen and then backtrack 5 hours to get to Greenland. So
how do you pronounce the capital of Greenland? Is it Nuuk?
I think it's like, yeah, I think it's Nuuk, but I say Nuuk, which I think is wrong, but Nuuk. I think it's Nuuk.
I don't want to sound like, you know, nuclear we're discussing weapons. North Korea. Yeah. But, so do you know anything about Nuuk? In Greenland. So, I had to do a little research.
Yeah, so there's this YouTuber who I've been obsessed with for a little while who's called Q's Greenland. She's Greenlandish. She lives there and has grown up there. She vlogs her life in Greenland and travels to all types of fascinating places there. So the background here is that historically, the only airport that has had long-haul flights, which again is only Copenhagen, was Kangerlussuaq, which is further south, I think. I might be incorrect, okay. But it was basically just an airport in the middle of nowhere. And from there, you had to connect to the capital Nuuk, which could only handle Dash 8s, which are small propeller planes. So there was this little town built around that airport, but it ended up being a very unnecessary stop for a lot of people because pretty much no one is going there. Now, in November, so just in a few weeks, Nuuk Airport is finally opening a new terminal, and along with that, an extension of the runway that will finally allow them to handle A330s, 737s. So direct flights will be scrapped from Kangerlussuaq to Copenhagen, and of course, now we'll get to see Nuuk to Copenhagen and New York direct, which is so exciting because even though Greenland only has a population of 50,000, it's way smaller than Gothenburg, by the way.
That's Greenland as a whole, right? This massive the whole ice country. Mass. It's an island, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
it's considered an
absolutely
island.
Absolutely massive, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think most of the people taking this flight will be Americans. And that's what's so cool, that United and Newark is less than 5 hours away. So flying twice a week with a 737 MAX, they're sending about 300, 350 seats a week. And I am sure there are some wealthy Americans who want to go on a summer vacation they can tell everyone they know about that, you know, no one else goes on. So I think this is a cool route. We'll discuss, you know, what do you think are some of the other reasons besides just demand to launch one of these kind of routes?
I just think, look, I'm always an advocate like you for anything that makes the world a smaller place and promotes connectivity, especially to places that otherwise are, you know, very difficult to reach, not least the capital of Greenland. As I said, most people, if you're flying on a clear day, you fly over Greenland when you're flying over the Atlantic. Sometimes that's not the case if you're flying from places like London or Paris, because you're a bit too south for that. But if you are flying from further east, and then because obviously the curvature of the Earth and the way that the Earth is a sphere, because it's not round, dear listeners. Sorry, it's not. Goodness, it is round. It's not flat. Wow, imagine I was trying to correct and I nearly just fell into the trap of, I nearly just became a flat earther. Yeah. Anyway, so because the Earth is not flat and it is round, and you fly over, if you're flying from East, Middle East, Far East, you end up flying over on a clear day. It's just amazing. It's super, super beautiful in terms of snow and ice and looks like the North Pole. Do you remember that Air Canada thread that went viral that I posted on X about my mediocre flight from London to Montreal? That did go over Greenland. And remember, I wanted the window bright so I could see the review because, hello, have been there. To see the view. And so anyway, this fixes that. We can now reach there from Newark.
Exactly.
So they're going to be using a 737 MAX. Most of the destinations that they had announced are seasonal and will utilize a mix of the MAXs or a couple of other variants, or also the 757
and the 767.
So it's interesting. They, I think, are not ready to book just yet. But it's coming soon. But okay, let's take you through the full list of these kind of interesting and new destinations of United, making the world a slightly smaller place. So first up is Newark to Bilbao in Spain. This shocked me. I have no idea where they have seen the demand for that. Bilbao is small, is poorly connected, and I mean, as a city, there's a lot of art and culture in the city itself. It has the Guggenheim, the museum. It has various different art sculptures. It has a decent food and wine scene. So in that sense, it's good. It's close to San Sebastian, which is beautiful and great for surfing as well, because the Bay of Biscay is pretty choppy. But Bilbao, I don't know. It's never felt like it has any international. I feel like the people that end up in Bilbao, and I've been there quite a lot. I've got relatives that live there. The people that end up there are touring Spain. So they've come into Madrid and they've driven, or they've taken a coach or a train to Bilbao, domestic flight, and then they go from Bilbao somewhere. Maybe they go across to Santander, or they go across to Santiago further west, or they come down and they go east, maybe down towards Valencia. So I feel there's very little point-to-point international demand for Bilbao, and I'll be very interested to see if this route is able to continue. I guess they know this, which is why that route is seasonal. Also, a couple of things about Bilbao. They'll be flying a 757-200, which are, of course, increasingly rare. Bilbao suffers from some of the worst weather in Spain. They have the lowest cloud cover compared with everywhere else in Spain. It's often very grey, very drizzly, and very depressing in terms of weather. Add that to the fact that the airport is nothing short of a little bit extreme because of the positioning between the mountains and this low cloud cover and wind that they get between the two mountains. It's very, very regular it's a real regular occurrence to have a flight cancelled there, or for the aircraft to have to hold elsewhere, wait for the weather to clear. The arrival and the landing there can be really turbulent. It's, as I said, I've done this a lot. And the experiences haven't been great. I mean, my most cancelled, according to my flight diaries, the most number of flight cancellations I've had anywhere on earth have been trying to leave Bilbao. Because I used to go for the weekend to see relatives, and I used to leave on a Sunday night, and it was 8 times out of 10, it was cancelled if it was raining or if it was windy or whatever. So 757, bad weather, Bilbao Airport, that's going to be interesting for sure. Then again, it's happening in summer, so typically the weather is a bit better there in summer, but not always. But anyway, not a reason to not launch the route. Interested to see what happens there, of course, and if the demand actually comes into fruition. Newark to Faro in Portugal, I think a very safe bet. It's really having its moment, the Algarve area, and Portugal is becoming much more known to Americans, not just Lisbon, but the other beautiful places. So I get that. That's 4 times weekly. Newark to Madeira. Well, United seem to love the idea of a challenge, because if Bilbao has issues with being able to continue with a safe and stable approach, knock, knock, who's there? The fourth most extreme airport in the world, Madeira, where it is I mean, that is a challenge to land in Madeira. It's a runway built on stilts. It's out in the water. It gets a severe crosswind. And if any of you are unfamiliar with Madeira, if you're not doing anything tonight, grab some popcorn, a soft drink, go to YouTube and type in Madeira landings and hold your breath, because it is, I mean, aircraft get into some extreme situations at Madeira, not just in winter, every day of the year. It is completely normal. Actually, have you flown to Madeira?
No, but I have flown there dozens of times in Microsoft Flight Simulator, which I guess you might have done exactly too as a kid.
Yeah.
Did you not as a kid?
Of course I did 100 times. That was like, that's one of the classic places. I only landed 50 of the times.
Yeah.
Otherwise you have to divert back to somewhere else. But yeah, that's an extremely challenging airport. I think one, the fourth or the third most extreme in the world. And yeah. That's launching with a 737 MAX 3 times a week in June. Then you've got Newark to Nuuk in Greenland, which we discussed. Newark to Palermo in Italy, which again, Americans' love affair with Italy unlocks a whole new chapter.
And I like the announcement. I like the little White Lotus flair on this.
Definitely. I mean, this is probably the White Lotus effect, right? Italians have discovered, sorry, not Italians, they knew about it all along. Americans have discovered that there is this little football at the bottom of the boot called Sicily, and Palermo is the capital. Loads of Americans were in Sicily this year, not least, as Dan just pointed out, because of the White Lotus season 2 effect, where they were in Taormina in the Four Seasons, which is booked out for the foreseeable, and you're just impossible to get a room there. So United are sending in the big guns, a 767-400.
Hey, don't be so belittling. Don't be so belittling. United is trying, okay?
No. Hello, United are sending out the big guns. Are they not the 767?
Yeah,
the big guns, right?
As if you would normally call a 767-400 the big guns.
Looking at this announcement.
An A330-300 shutter.
But looking at this announcement, where it's mostly 737 MAX, okay, I'd call the 76 the big guns.
It's a long flight, so they need the range.
Yeah. Well, take us through the final three destinations, which are a little more unusual.
I love that. I know exactly why you asked me to do this, because you don't know how to pronounce.
Yeah, go on. You pronounce it.
So, I'm going to try my best. Basically, the context for these upcoming routes you're about to hear is that United has historically had a hub in the U.S. overseas territory of Guam, but that is being downsized a bit. So as part of that, they're moving some of their Asia-based 737s that used to be in Guam to Tokyo, which is wild to me that United Airlines will have a base in Tokyo, but you know, let United do United. So from Tokyo, they will be launching flights, first of all, year-round from, I think it's Haneda, to Kaohsiung, Taiwan, which is a city
in the
south. Well
done, you nailed it. You nailed the pronunciation. That is exactly, I just checked, that is exactly how you pronounce it. It looks like it, but it is pronounced, yeah, Kaohsiung.
Kaohsiung, okay. Yeah, kind of. And then the more unique one, which really caught a lot of people's attention in addition to Greenland, is Tokyo to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. So they're going to serve the almost 5-hour flight, which I cannot believe it takes 5 hours to fly from Tokyo to Mongolia, but it does. Yeah. And that will also be operated by a United 737. So there was this tweet that went viral, kind of showcasing just what type of network United has built at this point, showing that you can fly a United 737 from Madeira, or in this case, Ponta Delgada in Portugal, all the way to Ulaanbaatar going through North America, which is just wild. And that would include flying first, obviously, to New York, then transcontinental in some way, then continuing to Hawaii, and then one of the most other iconic Avgeek routes in the world is the United Island Hopper, where they stop at all these little U.S. military bases in the Pacific Ocean to get from Honolulu to Guam. Then you fly from Guam to Tokyo, Narita, so it wasn't Haneda, on United, and then Tokyo, Narita to Ulaanbaatar. So, you know, we got to say here that whatever we think about the quality of United, After this announcement, I genuinely think United has the coolest network of any airline I can think of in the world. Maybe Turkish would be a competitor, but the fact that United is trying such unique things and really open to take the risk to be able to connect more places, to me, it makes me view United as a more interesting and appealing airline in the sense that they actually care where they send people, as opposed to just going to the same old places where, in a way, it reminds me of what Qatar Airways was doing before the blockade ended, where we saw them flying to, you know, unknown, irrelevant places like Gothenburg.
Your words, not mine. Yeah.
But also, you know, if you think back pre-COVID, Qatar was like flying to Da Nang and in Vietnam, Cardiff. For a while, they flew to, Chiang Mai in Thailand. All these places that you wouldn't think would get a wide body flight in the case of Qatar. But it's just such a cool concept that you can fly from, in United's case, any secondary city in the US pretty much and get to Greenland with one stop, or fly from any hub city to Tokyo and get to Mongolia in one stop on United. You know, although I wouldn't say that's maybe their preferred way to get there, but it's just an illustration of, I just find this so cool. And I think we should commend United for innovating in a way that we actually rarely see airlines do.
Yeah, I agree. I like the fact, I told you, that they're being brave with this. So that's good. I think there was one more route that we haven't covered, which was Washington, D.C. to Dakar.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, well, that was, you know, there are other airlines that already fly that. Delta already do that from New York JFK. So
yeah, it's, and I think United already flies to, actually, maybe they don't fly to Dakar, but there are flights between the US and Dakar already. So it's not as wow.
Not as revolutionary. Yeah. Not as wow. Well, that's cool. That's what's happening over at United and caught our eye. And I guess we should make some kind of commitment into trialing one of those routes. So that's a discussion
we have. I have to fly United with you. We have to do it.
Okay. Maybe we figure out which one. I'm like, Bilbao, no. Madeira, no. I'm like, let's do Sicily.
Well, if we have to cross out the 737 MAX, and then we have to cross out touching U.S. soil so we don't get U.S. flight attendants, we're starting to
Whoa. Don't alienate the audience.
I mean, there are great U.S. flight attendants. I'm just saying, I think when you board, you're going to be like, what? Like, what is going on here?
I think you misrepresent me too. I think I'm very easygoing, very chill.
You
very
heard calm. It here, folks.
Yeah, I am.
Just wait for the video from our United flight together.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, you know what? We'll land on YouTube first, don't you? the United video before the first class one where I surprised you with an upgrade, which, dear listeners, on episode 55, we are still waiting for.
You know what scares me?
Dan, any thoughts?
Yeah, you know what scares me is that the amount of people that listen to the podcast, I never truly understand it until I look at my YouTube comments on my latest Etihad first class video. There's so many people being like, look at this, another Middle Eastern first class before the video with Alex.
Yeah, I wasn't awake all night making YouTube accounts and leaving those comments. No, they are all real and genuine and from the public. Listen, I stand with them. The people want to know. I went to dinner with a friend last week. You know what he said before the appetizers even arrived? Where is the video? I said, bloody good question. I have no idea. Let's ask him again. To which you replied to me, good night, Alex. Unbelievable.
Okay. It is in the works. Trust me, it will be worth the wait. Anyway, on to the next topic. Air
God
India.
Forbid. God forbid how you are going to give me this, you know, this edit. Yeah. Anyway, before I go into that, let's leave that there. Air India.
This is
what
horrifying.
What the hell
isn't it?
Is going on? Yeah. What is going on? This is stressful. I would not want to be senior management at Air India right now, or at any Indian carrier, because, well, in case you guys haven't seen, over 10 Indian flights have received fake bomb threats over the last 48 hours only, leading to a crazy number of chaotic situations, long delays, emergency flight diversions. Here's the severity of it. Just yesterday, Singapore's Air Force were forced to send up 2 fighter jets to escort the Air India Express aircraft away from populated areas, as is standard procedure when there is a bomb threat, and then initiate how they were going to intercept and then assist with having this aircraft land and divert elsewhere, and all the protocol that then follows that, because every bomb threat that reaches the airline, they have to take incredibly serious, and there's no room for dismissing it as fake. Thankfully, of course, turns out not to be legit, but still, it's still causing chaos. Just hours before that happened with Singapore's military, an Air India aircraft flying from Delhi to Chicago had to land at Iqaluit in Canada, which is literally in the middle of nowhere, home to some glorious northern lights, but not much else. It is snowy. Don't you think Iqaluit really gets its moment when there's some kind of crazy emergency diversion and airlines end up there, and everyone is always shocked by the fact that a massive airliner has had to land in the middle of, whoa, looks like Greenland, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's very special, actually.
I mean, you know, these hoax bomb threats are not anything unusual in India over recent years, unfortunately, but they have no understanding as to why there's been such a sudden surge since a week ago. And obviously, these investigations are now underway. But as I said, in the 10 incidents, they've affected Air India, Indigo, Spicejet, Akasa. These are all airlines that have had to take them seriously and then you know, follow all protocol, evacuations, slides, bomb squads, the lot. 3 flights that took off from Mumbai on Monday were diverted after bomb threats were posted on Twitter, now known as X. Police have said that they, for those 3 specifically, they found that it was a teenager in connection with this, and they've detained him. Tuesday, 7 flights, including the 2 Air India aircraft I've discussed, were affected by the threats. That, again, was another Twitter X user, and that account has now been suspended. But screenshots show that the user was really specific in posting the aircraft, the flight number, even the reg. You know, this is crazy in 2024, no?
Yeah. I was thinking about, what do you do in a situation like this? Because you don't want to discourage people in any way from actually leaving credible information. You know, you don't want to say, if you leave a fake bomb threat, or if we don't find a bomb after you leave a bomb threat, this or that will happen. Because it could be that someone is leaving a legitimate warning or whatever it is. They just don't happen to find anything, because who knows? But in this case, there needs to be some sort of consequences, because the cost that airlines and governments have to bear because of these prank, I don't know if it's a prank call or what they're trying to do, but...
Well, I'm interested by what you just said. That's a whole different take I didn't consider. So you're worried that it will stop a whistleblower coming forward.
Yeah, but so let's say the Indian government now goes out and says, if you leave a threat and we don't find evidence that the threat was legitimate, this or that will happen. You'll go to jail, or you'll be fined, you know, a ton of money. Obviously, they couldn't make someone pay the whole amount the diversion costs. Well, then maybe if you're like, well, I heard through the, you know, I heard my friend's friend was thinking of doing something bad, and they were going to take this flight, so maybe I should say something, but maybe nothing will materialize.
But don't you think that's entirely different? Don't you think that's not a bomb threat? Don't you think that's like...
But don't you think that has to be taken as seriously if someone gives
absolutely.
A tip?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course. I mean, but from my understanding, most of these scenarios are not anything like that. It is that someone is declaring,
oh, so they're
there
saying
is a bomb on. Yeah. It's not someone has a hunch.
Yeah.
It's that people, these fake accounts, are tweeting saying this flight number and this aircraft has a bomb on board.
But so the
fact, the end of story. And then all hell breaks loose as they follow the procedure. Yeah. But from my understanding, none of it was, you know, I heard that my friend's friend has bad intentions.
Yeah. But I just don't know what is the motivation for doing this. Like, what do these guys or girls get out of making airline or airplanes divert unnecessarily. We don't know the point, right?
No, we don't. And that's the thing. We don't know the point. And also neither do the authorities investigating. They've said in statements that they're not sure what is, you know, not only what is behind these bomb threats and why people have these motivations to try to cause chaos on these commercial flights, but also what is behind the surge over the last week. And it's hit the headlines everywhere, understandably so. And it's just kind of added to the chaos that is rife with a lot of Indian aviation in terms of operational challenges, but also fleet and the fact that they've got neos parked on the ground left, right and center, and all this kind of stuff, and the new policies that we discussed last week that haven't gone down very well at all, and so on. This is slightly linked, and I wanted to bring this to your attention because I believe this was just after we published last week. Maybe it was a day or so after, but you know, Airbus reveal their order and delivery book every week. Mm-hmm. Every month, right?
Yeah.
And it's basically, so if I'm Airbus and I receive orders in that month, what I do as a manufacturer is I publicly declare my order book, and then it tallies up the outstanding backlog, so the number of aircraft that they have on as firm orders that they have to deliver. Because remember, these manufacturers like Airbus and Boeing are not making planes to then sell. They are making them as per the order. So if there were no orders, they wouldn't be making any in production. And so they've got a really strong backlog. And just the September order book was out. And it's something that anyone in aviation keeps a close eye on because it's a nice spreadsheet where it shows you that Delta ordered these 30 aircraft and American ordered this and Iberia ordered that and so on. Sometimes there is a category known as undisclosed. And undisclosed means that the airline customer placing the order wishes to remain anonymous for now. And so while Airbus prefer to show that order has definitely come through and would rather not keep it outside of the order book, because of course it's good to show the endorsement, it's good to show the aviation sector, the stock market, that they are receiving these big orders, it doesn't go as far as by saying who that order specifically was from if the airline chooses to remain undisclosed. So that's what an undisclosed customer is. And in the September order book, I had a quick flick through and something caught my eye. I was like, hello, 85 Airbus aircraft ordered by an undisclosed customer. That's a big order, 85 aircraft. 75 A320/A321neo jets and 10 A350 jets. 5 of the 900 variant, 5 of the 1000. So a sizable order of loads of Neos, a mixture of 321 through 320s, and also flagship A350s, 900 and 1000. Okay, of course, a bit modest on the A350 side with only 10, but of course, that got me wondering. So just in case Airbus had changed the way with how they log these things, I messaged my friends at the Airbus team in Toulouse just to check that this is definitely from one customer, right? One undisclosed customer, not a group of undisclosed customers. And they confirmed to me, yes, this is an undisclosed customer for now with an order of 85 aircraft. So I put this on Twitter and it went everywhere. Everyone has an opinion slash an idea as to who is behind this order of around 100 jets, right? They want to know, or that people were chiming in with their guesses, that the tweet was seen hundreds of thousands of times and people were engaging with it right up until about an hour ago. So of course people were messaging, it's Riyadh, it's Riyadh Air, it's the order that we've been waiting for, which I don't know about you, but I don't think it is because of the A350s in there, 10. I just thought, okay, that means it's not Riyadh. What did you think?
Well, you never know. It could be, but because, yeah, I don't know why, honestly, but we're waiting for them to order narrow bodies. So that's the part I think people are catching on to. Besides that, which airlines would, you know, have some kind of model like this? Delta? But why would they leave an undisclosed?
So Delta was definitely high up on my list. I thought this could be Delta. This could be fleet expansion from Delta. Of course, they've got Neos. But also, for me, the Delta story worked well because of the 10 A350s, right? So it would be like a top-up order of the A350s that they've already got. So quite a few people replied saying, it's Delta, it's Delta. They have their earnings call about last week. It's definitely Delta. Well, the Delta earnings call came and went. There was no announcement of an order. Others, I mean, this is funny. Someone said, it's Jet2. Fact.
Sure.
You know, it's definitely Jet2. Someone put, it's Jet2. They've been very quiet lately. I was like, well, aren't they quiet always?
So true.
Lately. That's interesting. Many said IAG. They thought it was IAG, which of course, if it's IAG, that means it could be split across IAG, Iberia, Vueling, Level, but also, that of course, British likely. Airways, Aer Lingus. Is it IAG? And, you know, BA have started in London, started retiring some of their older A320s. Maybe it's maybe it feeds into IAG there. We'll know soon, of
BA's
course.
BA's A320 fleet is literally ancient, so it's time for them to start replacing it.
Ancient but maintained very well, luckily.
Yeah.
Good.
A 30-year-old A320 needs to go.
Of course, it's older than us. Then, of course, when that's not a joke, when I tweeted about how Airbus had this undisclosed order in the order book, and I said, any thoughts? The first reply, which had the most traction about who the potential customer is for 100 Airbus aircraft, the first reply was, it's Boeing, right? And everyone thought, Boeing, you know, with the crisis right now, they're not producing any planes. The union strike is in full swing. Tim Clark of Emirates think Boeing are going to go bust. Enter Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the US. People were like, yep, it's Boeing, it's Boeing, it's Boeing. That was a fun take on it. Bloomberg seem to think it's Air India, which would be a bit whoa, because I mean they just announced a massive aircraft order earlier this year, so wow, expansion there is coming thick and fast. They seem to be well sourced in that it's Bloomberg. They could be wrong in that it's Air India, sorry, but they could be wrong. There's no guarantee. I just wondered in case you thought it was anyone else.
Well, it could always be Qatar Airways, but I guess you might know if that was the case. So I'm going to assume
it's not. I'm going to say that in this scenario, it's not Qatar Airways. Yeah, it's not. It's they've been quite clear in when they're placing their order, and that order is going to be on the wide body side, not on the single aisle narrow body side. So that's how you can figure out and you know who to rule out.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to find out who it is. Anyway, I'm excited. And hopefully it's an airline we like that's good and we get a bunch of nice lie-flat seats on those narrow bodies.
Oh, he's dreaming we'll again. Nurse, he hasn't taken his pills.
Hopefully it's SAS and they'll be basing all those aircraft in Gothenburg. Next question. So did you see the story about two women getting removed from Spirit Airlines for wearing crop tops?
I did, and this pops up all the time, and I wonder what the listeners think about this, because, you know, I have an idea about dress codes on an aircraft, but very few airlines, in fact, almost none, stipulate it in terms and conditions, which means it's kind of just up to the crew when they look at these jean shorts or these crop tops, and then these women go viral because they do a TikTok. Guess who? You know, come with me as I get kicked off my Spirit Airlines flight. It's like people are shocked in the comments. There's a dress code. It's like, yeah. What did you think?
Well, I thought it was a very interesting article, and especially the fact that this is happening in California. It happened at LAX. You know,
yeah, so liberal.
And it's crazy because you don't even hear these stories out of the most conservative parts of the world. And for sure, there are people wearing crop tops flying Emirates and, you know, Oman Air, Saudi, whatever it is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the fact that this happened on, and also of all airlines in the US, it's going to be Spirit that has a dress code. Yeah, honestly. Yeah. I think it's interesting because we haven't seen photos, right, of what these crop tops look like, because...
I think I did.
Oh, I didn't.
There was. She did a TikTok about it. Of course. I mean, of course she did. Generation TikTok, straight to TikTok, straight to go viral.
I'm going
to
be famous.
Yeah. So again, just to basically to provide some context to this is not the first time this has happened. The same thing happened in summer with EasyJet, but these two women were denied boarding. They were unable to fly because they were actually offloaded because they were wearing crop tops, and the ladies She's from California. Her name is Tara, and she was with a friend, filmed their confrontation with a flight attendant who said they must get off of the flight. When the BBC asked what was happening here, Spirit Airlines said that it is, quote, investigating the incident, and that in its contract of carriage, it does state that there must be a certain clothing standards that passengers must adhere to. Of course, everyone ticks that box, you know, I agree, pay now. And there's about 8,000 bits of legislation that you agree to when you're flying. Spirit reckon that deep in there, this ratchet ultra low cost carrier has a sense of standard when it comes to the clothes that one shall adopt and wear when flying on board Spirit. And crop tops is very much out of the window when it comes to those standards. Hence, the women were unable to board. The comments were full, Dan, of other women saying, well, I just landed on Spirit and they're in a, you know, even skimpier clothing.
Yeah.
And they had no idea about this. And it gets a bit blurry, doesn't it?
Yeah, I really don't know what to say because I think this is quite unacceptable. I just now saw photos of what they were wearing. I've seen people wear that or worse on flights. We've spoken Definitely. Many times about people putting their feet up on tables or up on screens, their bare feet. Here, Spirit yeah. Airlines says they will throw people off if they are barefoot as well, which for sure there have been hundreds of people barefoot on Spirit Airlines today alone, you know, yeah. after they've boarded. So I yeah. think the flight attendant was, for whatever reason, not into what they were wearing, or he thought it was inappropriate. So he, you know, used his power, as we often see in the US, to do something toward a passenger, which was totally unnecessary. And this is just another reason to add to the list of why we don't fly Spirit Airlines. So
you know, I also had seen what they were wearing. I don't know. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Also, and also, I didn't think that. I mean, as you say, we've seen far, far worse. What's interesting is that the lady who, you know, this happened to, she claims that most of the other flight crew agreed that there was nothing wrong with what they were wearing and that it wasn't against their, quote, dress code. But apparently the male flight attendant, who was eventually successful offloading them, was absolutely adamant. And he is the one that oversaw the two passengers being thrown off the flight. They said, quote, he continued to treat us poorly and gave us no reasoning as to why he wanted to kick us off. Other passengers joined in and tried defending us, but ultimately a supervisor who liked us, but ultimately a supervisor who liked us and told us either we would have to follow the instructions of the male crew or the police would come. Before they left the plane, they were promised that they would be rebooked flights by a nicer member of the crew. But of course, there were no other flights and they were refused to give the refund once they're off of the plane and so on. So it's messy. I mean, they didn't look like we've seen many more videos from, you know, horror stories in US air travel. And I just didn't think that this was warranted in this scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. But very interesting nonetheless. We have had a cool range of stories today. I think everything from United to India to Spirit. And now it is time to share your guys' stories as we go into Q&A.
Okay, I'm going to kick things off with a fun message from Andrew. He's a listener. He says, am I the asshole? I am fortunate enough to hold a decent level of status with all three major alliances. I usually am enjoying a drink or two before the flight in the lounge, and I'm never at the gate when my boarding group is called first or second. This means I usually arrive at the gate from the lounge when the shudder economy class, he says, passengers are boarding in group 6, 7, 8 or 9. I will usually then need to get to the front of a very large line of economy class passengers, robustly but politely passing my way to the front of the queue to give my boarding pass to the gate agent and be able to board, while receiving glares from everyone I have just bypassed to get to the front of the line. My status allows for priority boarding, but doing so mid-economy class makes me wonder, am I the asshole? Andrew says. What do we think?
I mean, you're not the asshole, but I hate this situation as well.
It's so awkward. Yeah. It's so awkward. Yeah. I had to do this recently.
Those times when there's no line or where there's no clear priority line and there's a really, mm-hmm. like this happened to me in August when I was flying from Edinburgh. The line was like 100 people long and there was no visible economy line. I just got from the lounge. So you walk all the way up as they're scanning people in and excuse me, is there a business class line somewhere? And then usually they wave you forward, but it's, yeah. I think airlines...
I mean, you have, you know, with your status, you are able to board at your leisure. That's the thing. I just hope that airlines make it a bit easier. The similar thing happened when I was leaving Montreal. I also left and they were they were boarding and there was a really long line for economy. And I just kind of walked past it or next to it and you can see people start looking thinking where does this guy think he's going, but luckily there was a small separate lane, very small, that was empty that they had been using for priority passengers with status, and so zipped up there and then they called me. But one thing I think there's a way to not be the asshole in this scenario. For example, if you do go to the front and someone is just about, who has been patiently waiting, is just about to give their boarding pass to be checked through, don't insist that you have to be seen
for sure
right at that moment. Just let that interaction happen. Let the gate agent make eye contact with you and acknowledge that you're there, and he or she is going to get to you next, you know, is really quickly, probably the next passenger. Don't be the guy or girl that goes to the front and literally while someone's handing a boarding pass, you throw yours in front and say, excuse me, I'm priority or whatever. That's, you know, the a-hole in that scenario. Yeah. But I don't think you did that. So I think there's a way to do it. As you say, you've earned your status. You're able to board at your leisure. Most announcements also say that they now invite their premium passengers with status to board now or at their leisure, because sometimes you don't want to get on first, or you're on the phone, or you've got commitments, you're in the lounge, as you said. So that's fine, but just try and be a bit easy about it, because also, you know, no one likes queue cutting culture anyway. It drove me mad in Rome at the Vatican last month. Oh my God, we're in this long queue. And of course, because it's a mixture of tourists and so many different cultures, no one says anything when blatantly these two Spanish people just walk straight. It was like they said, don't make eye contact. They walk straight to the front and cut in into the queue to get into the Vatican, and one woman attempted to tap them on the shoulder and they didn't even bat an eyelid. They didn't look around. I was like, ugh. Fuming. I hate that, you know, so disrespectful to everyone else.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, they were just taking advantage of the fact that in front of them were Chinese, behind them were German. And it was like, they were thinking no one's going to, but oh, they were awful. Ugh. I hated them.
Yeah.
Just like I'm seeing it in my head now. And I have that feeling all over again. Anyway, being at an airport and having status to go to the front is not that. But to some passengers, they might feel that it's like that. So just do it in a kind of mindful way.
Be demure. I mean, not that that phrase is super relevant anymore, but that is one situation where you just want to be classy, not, you know, rub it in people's faces. Just kindly go.
Don't look back and wink.
Exactly. No. Just try to not look back at all. That's my trick. I just look at the agent and avoid everything else.
Yeah.
I have a very good input here from Vincent. He says, hi, Dan. Big fan of your channel and podcast here. This morning, I was listening to the podcast story about the woman traveling from Miami to Doha and hearing all the bird noises from the cargo hold. So this was a few weeks ago, where you guys were asking yourself where they usually load live animals. I work for Qatar Airways Cargo, so I thought I could share some knowledge. Usually it depends on the size of the animal shipment. A very small animal, like a small dog, will usually be loaded in the bulk section. Interesting. But once we're talking about larger shipments, like the one on the MIA to Doha flight, all animals are usually built on a PMC or PLA pallet and loaded in either the forward or aft hold. Depending on the requirement, depending on the required temperature or other sensitive shipments that are on, let's see, I have to scroll down, that are on board, type of aircraft, etc. So, all right, that was the answer. Interesting input.
Well, then that does kind of support the fact that in the story, it was in the forward section of the hold, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess it's a combination of factors that determine why they're there, but given the volume of birds, I guess that's why they were there. So...
Toby has written in and he says, "Hey, Alex, I love the podcast with Dan. I've listened to all the episodes in just 2 weeks." Oh. Wow. That's really cool. Goodness. Did you sleep, eat? Make sure you're, you know, staying healthy as well while listening. He says, in one episode, which one I don't know, he said, you say that British Airways is getting a new app soon. Is there any news? The current app is so, so bad. Toby, you're right. The current app is awful. In fact, the current app just decides that, you know, we're not working today. You go to check in and it just says, sorry, error. And that's it. And it's all over Twitter as well. British Airways is getting a new app. It is part of the investment announcement that they made earlier this year, and that's probably why we discussed it on the podcast. In terms of giving you a date or a timeline on a new British Airways app, I don't have anything. All of this was announced in March, and as you note, we're in October and still no sign of the app, no sign of that first class video on Dan's YouTube channel either.
Hey, so let's focus on British Airways, Toby, okay?
Is I'll reach out to British Airways for you and get some guidance on that new app, and I'll also reach out to Nonstop Stan's office and get some guidance on when we can expect that first class video. So Toby, we'll come back to you in the coming two episodes or so. Give me a chance to speak to BA and I shall let you know.
The abuse. This is another area where I just have to give credit to United, because again, we say bad things about their onboard experience, but the technology that United invests in, not only their route network, but the technology, their app is incredibly sophisticated. And then it's shocking, the state of some airlines' apps in 2024. The fact that you still have to call to do the most basic tasks at some airlines, like request a meal, even book a seat with some airlines to change a flight. You know, it will often be, they might offer the functionality, but then you actually try to change it and it goes, oops, error, you have to call us. So again, this is an area where United really excels. And it's kind of the case where sometimes airlines are a lot better when you're not flying them. You're just dealing with them versus when you are actually sitting in
airlines
that seat.
Are great when you're just talking about them on the podcast, but then when you're in the air and they're telling you your catering has not been loaded, your bag's not on board, the app doesn't work.
Well, listen, even if the catering has been loaded on United, that's not good news, okay?
Oh, wow. He's going from one extreme to the other here. He's loving them one minute and he's being completely realistic about them the next minute.
Yeah.
And I am here for it. This is the only thing you get on air with Dan and Alex. And I think with that, we'll wrap. We've got loads of questions and scenarios, including the am I the a-hole scenarios. So I think what we're going to do is next week's episode, we will go exclusively to your questions and have a really long, conversational, wide-ranging selection of the best scenarios, some Q&A, some practical advice, because it's been a while since we've done that. So let's allocate loads of time for that, if not the whole episode, next week, Dan.
Yeah. You know what? When you said let's wrap, you made me, I mean, I didn't think this, but I was like, we should wrap sometime on the podcast. No, I'm kidding. But we should find different rap songs that have aviation-related lyrics in it. Like, there's so many songs that have fun little tidbits or so many cultural moments.
You know the song by Drake, Crew Love?
Yeah. What does he say there?
I don't know if it's about flight crew.
I don't think so. That was the most, like, mom thing I've heard.
They're loving the crew.
Yeah, I don't think he's loving the cabin crew.
They're loving the crew.
I think it's more about his crew.
They're loving the crew.
Oh, that's so good. Then, I mean, please, guys, if you know any good rap lyrics about planes, send them our way. Also good cultural moments or memes that I can use in my videos. Like, it makes me think of when Nicki Minaj was on Stephen Colbert last year or something, and he goes, what seat do you usually like on a plane? Like, window or aisle? And she goes, window. And then he's like, he asks some follow-up question, and she's like, I don't fly those types of planes.
That's very true. That's very true. Hey, Dan, when's that first class video going up on your YouTube channel?
Goodbye. We'll see you next week on air.
See you later.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.